Welcome. Welcome to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. It's great of you to join us. I am Chuck Champion, and I've got Chale Pistolas with me, and we're here to talk about our precious Dallas Cowboys. That's right. You heard that right. So, Chale Pistolas, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Chuck Champion. Thank you for one more night. I know we stayed away a couple weeks, but we're excited about getting back. We've got a good show tonight, I think, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes things, you know, you can't help it. You know, things happen and you can't make the scheduled show. You try to make it up and you have your heart all set on doing it. And then, you know, other things happen because, you know, such is life. But yes, we are back and we are here tonight to talk about, oh, what a win. We won. So I think we're only going to have the show when we win now. Is that a thing maybe?
Well,
yeah, we lost two in a row.
And I hope that means every week there, Chuck Champion.
So, yeah, 37-34, Dallas over New York Giants, the G-Men. At home, Dallas at home. That takes us up to 2-3. We are 2-1 at home. The Giants, of course, 0-5 in a horrific freaking year for the it's just the putrid NFC East, really, when it comes down to it. The whole NFC East is putrid. And, the reality is we're 2-3. We're not even above 500 yet, but we are in first place. We're in first place. What are your thoughts on that, Chale Pistolas? First place at 2-3.
Oh, I tell you what. And you're right. It is a difficult season for a lot of teams here in our division. However, we are in first place, and I love it. And I think it's going to get better. We've got some obstacles, obviously, that you're going to go into, Air Chuck Champion, and we're all in awe over that. But here we are in first place. It's awesome. It's a great feeling, and maybe it's a turnaround for us. Is what I'm hoping.
Indeed. So let's get right to it. Let's get to the game summary, the official game summary. Brought to you by ESPN. So we had a field goal in the 11:20, 11 plays, 69 yards, took 3 minutes and 40 seconds off the clock. Dallas 3-0, Greg Zuerlein, 24-yard field goal. Then we go on, New York Giants scored, Evan Engram puts the game at 7-3. That was on seven plays. And then Kyler Fackrell, number 46, I'm sorry, had a 46-yard interception return. And that right there was, it was, here we are down.
Should have never
14-3 in the first quarter. And so, yeah, we're down 14-3. Should have never happened, but indeed it did. And, of course, they got the points off of that. And Dak has not – he had been having some interceptions. He had a couple the week before after going on a long streak without interceptions, but here he was with a couple of interceptions in a couple of weeks, actually. So, yeah. Nevertheless, we go on. Graham Gano with a 55-yard field goal, putting the game up 17-3 in the second quarter. And then, of course, we had a touchdown, a 14-play drive, 75 yards, which chewed up almost 7 minutes, 6:59. Ezekiel Elliott with a 1-yard TD run, puts the game up back 17-10. And then, of course, we had the Anthony Brown 29-yard fumble return, and that put the game up on Greg Zuerlein 17-17. Greg Zuerlein with the, point after attempt. Then, of course, Graham Gano puts the field goal, and they go up ahead 20-17. However, Dak Prescott with a 6-play drive, 75 yards, 35 seconds, which shows how fast they can strike. And he puts in a 11-yard TD pass. He catches it, actually, from Cedric Wilson in a badass play. We all saw this play. Everybody marked out over it. Your thoughts on Dak Prescott catching a touchdown?
Well, you know, he I don't think they had tried that before. I don't remember that, but he snuck that one in on him. He was right on point. I don't believe he caught them asleep. They did not. They were not aware that he's an eligible receiver, that he was going to be, catching that pass. And he was wide open. A great call at the right time, and very little time off the clock. I mean, it was great to have us finally go ahead. It was really good.
Absolutely. So that was that. That was the halftime, 24-20. And right there, you could already tell, hey, look, man, this is going to be another shootout with Dallas, another high-scoring game, because Dallas has been putting up some points this year. However, looking at them and comparing them with other teams, you would think that they, are up there, like, really high, but actually they're not. They're kind of fall towards the middle, but there's a lot of other great teams. Nevertheless, we get into the third quarter. Graham Gano with a 54-yard field goal, and in 10 plays, 39 yards. They chewed up 535. New York comes within 23-24. Then we go to with 5:03 left. Ezekiel Elliott with a 12-yard TD run, and that was 10 plays, 79 yards. A nice long drive there. Chewed up 422, putting the score at Dallas 31 and New York Giants 23 at that point. So we go into the fourth quarter. And that's when we had the during the third was when we had the Dak Prescott injury, which was horrific. Horrific injury.
Horrific injury. So, it's just a devastating injury. And I don't know if you'll have a segment on the injury by itself.
We will. However, yeah. He did finish up his season with 1,856 yards, first place if the season was to end at that moment. He was in first place, man. 1,856 yards.
Wow.
He had 9 touchdowns, which was tied for 9th, 4 interceptions, which was tied for 22nd. And, of course, those interceptions came in, like, the string of span of two games, I think it was. And his quarterback rating
obviously
was 75.8, yes.
Obviously headed for the best year of his career.
They're saying he was on track to – yeah. They're saying he was on track,
to break all
break
kinds
the
of numbers.
And so, yeah. So we lose Dak Prescott to injury, horrific injury there. It was a compound fracture, which means that the bone penetrated through the skin. And, of course, we didn't see the blood because he had his ankle heavily taped, but you could definitely tell by the way it was pointing down while he had his leg up that, it was torn, that it was shattered. And that's exactly what happened. And we'll get to that injury later. Moving on with the game, in the fourth quarter, Graham Gano with a 28-yard field goal, putting the Giants within 5, still down one touchdown there. That was 9 plays, 66 yards, chewed up 5:11. And so then we get to Devontae Freeman on a 4-yard TD run. This was Daniel Jones passing to Andrew Thomas for the 2-point conversion. And that puts the G-men up 3, 34-31. And then, of course, we had the Greg Zuerlein field goal, a 40-yard field goal, which was a drive from what's his name? The redhead guy, Andy Dalton. The Andy Dalton drive took up 11 plays, 53 yards, and chewed up 6 minutes and 50 seconds, tied the game. And then, of course, we ended up getting the ball back. Dalton drives him down the field again in 5 plays, 72 yards, in 52 seconds, no less. And at that point, Zuerlein kicks in a 34-yard field goal for the win with the time ticking off the clock. How did you like that?
Tick, 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 tock.
Yeah.
They played it great.
Pretty much played it great.
You know, we can come back after we talk about Dak and talk a little bit about Andy Dalton because it's, he had a good play there, and he got us into field goal range, and And
he did what he had to do. Yes,
he did what he had to do. He came out and basically won the game for us, because the kicker, well, he won it for us too, because you know he made the field goal, but
Andy
helped
put
set
him
up
in position. Yes,
he put him in position to just make it easier for him. I mean, it was a 34-yard field goal, which you know, it's not that difficult to make it. Under pressure, it is, but it's a heck of a lot better than a 55-yard field goal. So a great ending to a horrifying injury. I think they were playing for Dak. I could see the number four. They were playing with all their hearts, and a very well deserved victory there.
Right on. So yeah, Andy Dalton, and I think we just did talk about Andy Dalton. There's no need to to come back to him, because we just did talk to him.
Yeah,
you know, he's a very capable quarterback. I've always known this. I mean, he took the Bengals to the playoffs, I think, 5 straight years, something like that. Of course, they never did anything. I always blame their coach. You know, they wouldn't fire that guy. I can't even remember his name, but they had him forever, and you know, it was another Jason Garrett type thing, and that's where we were headed. You know, the family gets comfortable with the guy, and they just ride him out to the end, and it's like, no, 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 no.
Well, it's funny you should mention Andy Dalton the way you just did other Chuck Champion, because I actually defended him earlier today, and I'd share that with you right now. I was talking about him, and a coworker of mine mentioned, well, you know, the only thing about him is he's got to be ahead, because he's not a come from behind. And I said, okay, so what do we do Sunday?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
We stayed ahead. You know,
absolutely.
He came from behind and beat these guys. Come on.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
very capable quarterback.
I think that theory there just went to shit. It didn't. I have good faith in him. He demonstrated some good leadership and good authority on the field there when he had to on the crunch time.
From right up the road in Katy, Texas, and also, you know, went to school at TCU, college standout quarterback at TCU. And then, of course, you know, went on to play with Cincinnati. I think last year he had a brief stint with the Cardinals. I'm almost positive on that. And now he is with us. Maybe it wasn't the Cardinals. I don't know who it was, but he's with us now, and that's all that matters. He's home. He wanted to come over here, you know, to Texas because of the pandemic and stuff. He wants to be closer to home. We got him on a good deal. I think, you know, it was $3 million very well spent. And now here he is in charge of the helm of the number one sports franchise in the world. That's what he has on his shoulders right now. That's not too bad, huh? Welcome home, Andy Dalton. And so, yeah, the biggest questions that remain is what's next for quarterback Dak Prescott after that brutal injury that he suffered. This could go, you know, many ways. Of course, the Jones family is already saying that they're going to stick around, that they're going to stick by him. That, you know, they're not saying that, but they're not saying that they're not. You know how things are worded. Everything is worded. But the Tad Prescott, Dak's brother, is already saying, hey, he's campaigning for MVP and comeback player of the year in the same season. The fight starts today, little bro. Let's get it. Let's get it, Dak. So, yeah, so there's already great motivation. He was smiling before he went into surgery. There was a picture that came out on Twitter. He was smiling with his brother before he even went into the surgery. So he was already in good spirits, had already accepted the fact, you know, that he's got work to do. And sometimes that's just the way it goes. Tom Brady actually shared some advice. I know my precious Tom Brady, a man that you totally hate. but he did share some advice.
There are no love vows there, champion. You know, he caused us much misery, and that's okay.
He said, every week you see carnage in the NFL. It's a violent sport. It's what we sign up for. It's very difficult to see players get hurt and go through tough injuries. From my standpoint, when I see it, I appreciate the moments that I have out on the field. I'm very grateful coming off the field healthy, and I'm very blah, blah, blah. He said, here we go. He said, it's really tough. I think you've got to look at the injury in stages. This is the point where he just had surgery. He's going to have to recover from the surgery before he can start to rehab. Once he starts to rehab, then he's going to have to start preparing for the season and what his future holds. I don't think you jump ahead too much, he says. And, of course, Brady had that one, I want to say it was 2008, when he had when he went out for the year in the first game, and then Garoppolo came in, and of course, you know, he just got benched over the weekend. But Brady goes on to say, in the short term after you have the injury, there are lots of things that go through your mind. I know that happened with my knee, but I think the thing about great competitors, they have great discipline. They know how to get through rehabs and try to get the best outcome that you can. I know his teammates appreciate him. Dak is shown a lot of love and support by his teammates, which shows to me that they connect with him very well. He's a great leader. He's had a great career to this point, and we're all hoping for the best in his recovery. And, you know, that's one of the things, Chale Pistolas, that you hear a lot when they're talking about Dak Prescott, leader, and how great of a leader he is. And there's a lot of people that don't like this guy. They feel like he's not good enough to be their man for, you know, to lead the Pokes, the precious Cowboys. But I think he's proven himself that he can lead this team. And all the players around him, they always say that about him, that he is such a great leader, including the Joneses. Your thoughts on Dak Prescott. Is he the leader that everybody makes
him
out to
be? Yeah, I believe he is, Chuck Chappie. You know, I started off the season, I was one of those that was a little on the edge for Dak. I was concerned for him as a leader. But, you know, every game, whether we won it or lost it, he put up some outstanding numbers.
Phenomenal.
Okay, to be ranked, you know, top of his game, okay, he was set to have the best season ever, okay? He remained focused during pressure times. And, you know, he can't pull it off by himself. So we all know the defensive challenge that we have. So it's real difficult, but the records are there. The young man demonstrated the leadership. And the way that came across to me, and it just really changed, was the last couple of games, even though – you know, we had lost them. I saw the leadership.
Yards.
I saw the comeback, willingness to come back. I saw the struggles that he had and the numbers they put up, to the point to where I had gone out this weekend, Chuck Champion, and bought his jersey. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now, you know, I wear it proudly in hopes of his return. Okay. But when the injury happened, immediately following that injury, and the way they played the rest of the game, to me was all Dak. It was a tribute to him, to his leadership style, and to how the players feel about him, and they felt they owed him that win. And I really believe that they played their hardest I've ever seen them. As a result of that, and that just goes back to his leadership ability and the way to control the team. So he will be missed. We've got some good hopes. I think the management has made some good decisions to prepare for something like this. So we may be able to skim through it, but he will be missed, and I believe that he will hold his. As soon as he's back on the sideline, Chuck Champion, and I'll get your thoughts on this too, I believe that he'll be very valuable to us on the coaching and advisory side for Andy Dalton.
Interesting. And, you know, he is set to be out 4 to 6 months. And that's interesting because that puts him back right around the time that he needs to be back to start the workout and to start everything. And Dallas, the Cowboys will be able to monitor him quite a bit. I don't expect that they'll give him the long-term deal that he wants just yet. I suspect that they will give him that the Cowboys organization and Prescott's team will work out another franchise tag because I don't expect him to get the contract just yet when he comes back because of the injury. They're still going to want to monitor it. You know, right now he was making 14.4% of the team's $175 million salary cap. So a second franchise tag, which this franchise tag was 31.4 million. The second franchise tag would give him a raise of 6.3 million, bringing it up to 18.9% of the $175 million salary cap. That's a huge percentage of the cap, buddy. And so I think they're probably going to give him another franchise tag, and you know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, the guy is making a lot of money. In addition to his NFL salary, he also has some $50 million worth of endorsement deals. I mean, you have to think that he's in the Campbell's Chunky Soup commercial. He's in 7-Eleven and Pepsi, and I think I've seen him a mattress deal. I mean, so you know, he's not hurting. He's not hurting, but certainly he does want to get his rehab going as soon as possible. We hope that he doesn't get any kind of infection or anything like that, because that will slow it down. And so certainly our best to Dak Prescott on his recovery on the part of the World Generation Podcast Network and the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. Get well soon, Dak Prescott. So we had the guy that injured him was
Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan, yes, had a very classy comment that he made. I hope he comes back, he said. Let's see. I think he said something else before that. He deserves it. Honestly, that was the best, the worst thing that happened today. I got a sick taste in my stomach for it. He was playing a hell of a game, and it was a hell of a battle, he said, which it was, man. They were really bawling. They were going after each other. He made it really tough on us, he said of Prescott. And he's a hell of a player. He's got a lot better. He's gotten a lot better on his reads, which he has. He's got a really good arm. He was tearing it up out there, and he was making it hard on me, and that's why this sucks. And so, yeah, he said, I know he's going to come back. So, yeah, kudos to Ryan for the classy comments there. I mean, it was clearly an accident. There was nothing malicious about it. But, yeah, it was definitely hard to watch. Your thoughts on Ryan's comments?
Well, you know, we're – you know, we're not, you know, we're not, it's a man's game. It's a rough
sport. Yeah, it's not ballet, buddy.
It's not ballet. Okay. It's not ballet. Okay. And, you know, one of the things was Prescott, you know, he leads the NFL in attempts, 151, 222 completions, 1,856 passing yards through five games. Amazing. I do believe he will return twofold. I believe he'll return
better,
and
stronger.
And better, stronger,
yeah.
And with a bigger attitude. You know, he's gonna come back with a vengeance, I believe.
Man, I'd definitely like to see that. In the meantime, the Cowboys, of course, they had DiNucci, a seventh-round draft pick rookie, DiNucci. I can't remember his first name, but that's who we had. So they have signed, in the meantime, Garrett Gilbert, who is a veteran backup quarterback. He's somewhat of a journeyman, been with two or three teams or something like that. But so anyway, now we have him, and hopefully we don't have to use him. But if we do, he is a Texas native. He started out his college career at Texas, where he famously replaced Colt McCoy. Yeah, during the Longhorns' loss to Alabama back in 2009 in the championship game. Gilbert finished his career at SMU, and then he was a Rams sixth-round draft pick in the 2014 NFL draft, so he's been around for a while, journeyman quarterback. Won a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots while he was on the practice squad, no less. Hey, he might win a Super Bowl here, third string quarterback. You never know. I mean, you never know.
He might win a ring. That would be nice.
we'll just have to see about that, because our defense certainly has a lot of work to do if that is to happen. But right now, there's other teams that are really balling out there, including the freaking Seahawks. But I digress. But yeah, so that's our guy. In case that's our guy, man. In case you know, Big Red goes down, and yeah. You know, I think if Andy Dalton goes down, that'll be our season.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that'll be our season, short and sweet. It'll be like that first year that Romo went down. Remember that first year Romo went down, man? We were all during the off season. We were like, oh man, we're gonna look real good next year, man. We're gonna look real good. Then Romo went down early, and they brought in a slew of freaking quarterbacks, and none of them could do nothing. A slew, yes, it was a slew. And by game 10, we were laughing. We were laughing. We were so bad. I mean, it was funny, man. But yeah, so that's where we're at. Garrett Gilbert. So yeah.
And refresh my memory on this, and I put you on the spot on every show. It's part of my hidden agenda. But
yes, of course.
Because you're so good at it. You know so much history of the Cowboys.
Stop it.
So. Didn't Prescott come in for an injured quarterback as well? Was it Romo?
It was Romo. He came in and took Romo's job right from under him.
And took us to the playoffs, and it was just an amazing deal.
And then everybody was like, I was like, nah, man, we need to keep Romo. We need to keep Romo. But everybody was like, nah, we got to go with Prescott. And, you know, I think it was 2016, and, you know, there was a lot of tension, and I don't know. I think, you know, Prescott just won the job. He fought the job, and he fought for it and won it, and Tony Romo decided to sit down. He had that class act moment where he talked about meritocracy or whatever the hell he said, meritocracy. And, you know, this is a sport that's played on merit, and, you know, he clearly stepped down. But, man, it was great having him in Dak's ear. It was great having him in Dak's ear. And and, you know, so we've had a lot of commentary on that. Of course, I read you Tom Brady's comments. But one of the most horrific comments that I saw out there was brought to you by none other than Tony freaking Dungy, former quarterback.
Really?
I'm sorry, former Colts coach. You know, quarterback Peyton Manning was his guy, you know, quarterback Peyton Manning. And so Tony Dungy says that the Dak Prescott horrible injury might have been a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Who the hell says that?
Well,
Tony freaking Dungy, that cool.
Yeah. A blessing in disguise.
Who the hell says that? He said
what was the logic behind it, Chuck?
Well, you know, he was sitting in front of a camera during a live broadcast. Those words were formed in his brain, and somehow he decided that he should actually, you know, utter those words out of his mouth so other people could hear them, and he got slammed for it. He got slammed for it. Really, at Tony Dungy? A blessing in disguise that Dak suffered a horrific injury? Choose your words a little better. Imagine Tony Dungy ever saying this about Peyton Manning in Indy.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Dak comes back with a vengeance and he gives him a little something to put in his trophy case, if you know what I mean.
Man. Yeah, that's brutal.
Brutal.
I mean, you know, yeah, that's just outlandish comment there. I don't know what got into him, you know. Got into him, but it's just it's a horrific choice of words. He didn't apologize, though. I've not seen anything about him apologizing for it. So your thoughts on on his comment? Let's see. Wait a minute.
I see it here.
Breaking news. He says, blessing in disguise was a poor choice of words by me. It's not a blessing for Dak. What I meant was that for the Cowboys, the season is not over. Andy Dalton, oh, stop it. Andy Dalton is very capable, and changing the focus back to Elliott could help the defense. But I feel very bad for Dak. Get the fuck out of here. He just tried putting a little dungy sauce on it. A little dungy sauce.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so as back is, it might be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys, Dungy said before Sunday night's football game. They've got a good veteran quarterback that can make some plays that might cause them to get back in their formula. Lean back to the running game. Lean back to Ezekiel Elliott. Help the defense by controlling the ball. You still got wide receivers, and Andy Dalton is going to make some plays with those receivers.
Now, I mean, I don't know what he's talking about there because, you know, that play was a designed run play.
Yeah.
Which they do not utilize on Dak too much. He does not run like Patrick Mahomes or like, the guy from the Ravens. He does not run like that. They use him limited on the run. You know, first and goal at the one. Just hand it off to Dak.
But one thing I have noticed, Chuck, champion, if I may say, is Dak, well, for what I've seen, he doesn't lay down.
No, he'll run over you,
when
man.
He'll put that forearm
he'll
out.
He'll run over you. Yes, and, he will put that forearm. He's a big guy, you know.
He'll run over you, and I think that's a big difference. I don't know what kind of factor that played here, but he had to get the yardage, and he got him. You know, but
right.
at a big price, no less. But it was just a horrible comment to make about an injury like that. But
absolutely. And so we're going to take a little short break right now. When we come back, we're going to wrap up, and that's what we're going to do. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these words on the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? Something really scary.
You want to see something really scary?
Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Welcome back to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. I am Chuck Champion, and it's great of you to join us tonight as we wrap up the show. I'd like to thank the World Generation Podcast Network for having us on their network as Chale Pistolas joins me every Tuesday night right here at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the World Generation Podcast Network on blogtalkradio.com. Mr. Pistolas, so the state of the Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott, we're moving on. What are your expectations this year? Playoffs or no playoffs? Playoffs? What are you talking about playoffs?
Playoffs or no playoffs?
Yeah,
I don't believe I'm going out on a limb here by saying this, Chuck Champion. I'm calling for the playoffs.
The playoffs?
I'm calling for the playoffs. Maybe just the first game. It may be just the entry-level playoffs. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's more than that. But my prediction is we're going to get into the entry-level playoffs. The defense, of course, has got to make a shift. We know that. Okay? For the upcoming battle with the Cardinals, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? The good, we're in first place in the NFC East. The bad is we've won just two of our first five games. The ugly is, of course, our starting quarterback, a season-ending injury. But along those lines, you know, we've got this young man coming up, and I'm going to say that we're going to do good enough to get us in the playoffs. Can we get in there and take it all away? It's a little hard to call right now, but I am calling the front door or the first gate. We will get through the first gate, Chuck Champion.
Through the first gate of the playoffs from Chale Pistolas, could he be the Swami of the program? We'll find out as we progress through the season. But we do have the Cardinals coming up on a Monday night, 7:15 p.m., followed by Washington. Yeah, followed by division games of Washington and the Eagles, okay? And then followed by the Steelers. The Steelers are doing good this year. And then I want to say it's the Vikings. The Vikings will be at 3:25 on the 22nd, and then the Washington Redskins will be on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, and then keep in mind, we have the Ravens after that, followed by the Bengals and the 49ers. Yeah, we got a tough schedule, man. I think we'll probably go 8-8, and we'll be able to maintain the lead or somehow edge the rest of the NFC East out to slide into the playoffs. And perhaps we will get taken out in the first round, or perhaps we become Cinderella and go, you know, to the NFC Championship or beyond. Who the hell knows? But yeah. So anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
No, well, just that, you know, the next few weeks are crucial for us here at Chuck Champion. I think
Games coming up, buddy, after the Cardinals.
Yes, of course. And the next few weeks are certain to unveil just how the rest of our season will go. So, before we take on another NFC East foe, we're going to have to go through the Cardinals, which are 3-2. But I believe we can get through them on a Monday night, and then we'll see what comes up. Certainly going at home.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. I think they're playing with a lot of heart, with dedicating to their to of course Dak, and a heart goes a long way. So go Cowboys, Chuck Champion. My closing comments.
All right, well, one more closing comment from you, because I'm going to throw out a challenge flag myself. I'm going to challenge the Dallas Cowboys defense to step up for Dak and do something for, you know, play the best game of the year to try to get a win for Dak. Let's do this for Dak. That's my challenge.
And you know what? I'll back up that challenge and tell you this, if they have to realize that they don't have Dak to come back like he has his last three games, that where he did a miraculous comeback. A couple of them we couldn't pull him off, but he did do a miraculous comeback. He's not there anymore. So they've got to stop. You're absolutely correct, Chuck Champion. They've got to stop
the other team. The yardage have to decrease, and if we can hold them to smaller yardage, even three-fourths, even a half of the yardage they've been letting the other teams acquire, no doubt in my mind we'd walk away with a win.
Indeed. So, yeah, there you go. You heard it from Chale Pistolas. No doubt about it. Walk away with a win. So, yeah, I am Chuck Champion for Chale Pistolas. I'd like to thank you very much for listening to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. And we'll see you again right here on the World Generation Podcast Network each and every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us as we break down the game and talk about what all is going on. So we will see you next week right here on the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.